Yeah. That's like the holy bite.
Yeah. When I make turkey sandwiches after Thanksgiving, it's as much mayonnaise as turkey in there.
Do you put potato chips in there?
I do not, but that is I will.
You should.
You don't even need turkey. That. Just stick your potato chips in there. Mm-hmm. Right, Brett?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe Doritos. Doritos are like one of my favorites.
Doritos are like smelly socks.
What? Speak for yourself.
What? Go smell your feet and then go eat a Dorito and you'll be like, huh,
no.
I don't think anyone else feels that way.
Oh, no. I eat Doritos. They're just not a good chip.
Oh.
I disagree.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit, do better. So together we can be a little better. What's up, everybody? Welcome to our audience. Welcome to A Little Better. We are excited to have each and every one of you. Let me be one of many to say Happy Thanksgiving and don't forget Merry Christmas. And so it's good to have at our couch Mr. Bradley Files. He brought our message this weekend.
Yes, I did. It's a little different over here. Boy, I think I like it better over there. But
I will say this seat is way better.
I feel
than
like
that
I'm getting
seat.
Ganged up on. I mean, it's like coming from both sides here. So
we also have Britt Catlin. Britt, introduce yourself. Tell us what you do around these parts.
Yeah, I'm Britt Catlin. As Drew said, I'm the communications director. So all things email, website, app. Mm-hmm. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then I'm also head of our production team, not the tech side of things. I'll let Nate Bantle deal with that, but I'm more the people scheduling side of things. So
if you like those maps, the maps you saw this weekend or any pictures or graphics, mm-hmm. Britt is responsible for that. So let's dive in. We finished the series Unsung Heroes. Brad, you kind of all encompassed it all at the end. And so mm-hmm. give me your sermon in 60 seconds.
If only I could remember it. But no, I almost feel like I preached three sermons because it started off with wrapping up where we'd been. You know, we through the first 5 weeks and just looking at it a little differently that we've been looking at heroes and the Bible celebrates heroes, but really it's God orchestrating this whole redemptive plan through the course of history, preserving, you know, his people. And then also wondering why, hey, week five, we talked about Jesus, aren't we done? But hey, we got a sixth chapter, a final chapter. And that chapter is us. That chapter is the church. And so for the church, we focused in on the story of Priscilla. I mean, I talked to someone earlier this week. They're all in at Northridge, serving, all kinds of things. I said, I'm talking about Priscilla. And they said, who's Priscilla? So not everyone knew. So she truly is an unsung hero. But Priscilla and her husband Aquila were partners with Paul in ministry. They traveled from Rome to Corinth to Ephesus. And the lessons we learned from Priscilla and Aquila's life is that they were generous. They just shared, you know, everything they had, their home, their lives, they poured into other people. They lived dangerously. They were risk takers. So they were not afraid to mix it up and to get in there and to do things that were costly or risky. And finally, Priscilla had an influence on the teaching and the training of leaders and really did it from a kind of a background position because, you know, her name isn't celebrated. She's not in the spotlight, but people like Apollos and Paul are in the spotlight. So just to live generously, dangerously, and just to go deeper so that we can share those things with the Word of God. And then that kind of the third sermon to wrap
Brad,
it all
you know,
up.
I said 60 seconds.
Oh,
just for
man,
the
we're way over. So anyway, Jesus is the hero. That was the last of it.
Well done, buddy. Well done. You know, one thing I love about Priscilla is I like that element that she is not like this well-known name. Mm-hmm. And yet in her like not like unsungness, she still has a profound impact.
Yeah.
And so when I think of her, like as you studied and Britt, as you heard the message, you both can answer at whatever time you want. What is the thing that inspired you the most about her story?
I'll start us off. The thing about Priscilla's story is really, I think she gets like six mentions throughout the whole Bible, and mm-hmm. they're very small mentions, mm-hmm. but like you said, it's like this profound impact. So we really don't know that much of detail of her mm-hmm. life. And so for me, what really stands out is she just strikes me as somebody who is really, really just faithful in the everyday mundane mm-hmm. facts of life. You know, mm-hmm. she is pursuing the gospel. She's humble. She's training up leaders. She's doing all of these things alongside her husband. Mm-hmm. And I just really am inspired by that because mm-hmm. sometimes when we're in this just everyday, like mundane life, it gets hard to keep pushing through. Mm-hmm. For her, obviously, we know that she risked her life. So there was definitely some action-packed detail in her mm-hmm. life, but we will never know the details of that. And so for me, what I'm going to be pulling is just that everyday sticking to obedient faithfulness.
Yeah. One of those titles I was kind of working with, I was thinking about it, was Impact Without Applause. Mm. You know, just that she's able to work in the background. And I was kind of working, you know, one way, but I kind of, the more I studied Priscilla, the more I thought, it's true. She was in the background, but she was bold. You know, I don't want to think that she was in any way, you know, subdued. She went all in and she went big. And of course, it's true. We named our only daughter Priscilla because Priscilla has always been a hero to me. And she's because I want my daughter to live a life like Priscilla's. Mm-hmm. I want my daughter not to feel the doors are closed. I want her to feel the doors are open. That there is a gifting that God has given her. She has significant contributions to make. Her voice should be heard and listened to. And I shout out to my daughter. I think she's living that. I mean, she's certainly living in that direction. She and her husband are all in serving. They serve behind the scenes, you know, at their church. But she's creative. You know, she's a designer. And I do think that, you know, she is using the gifts that God gave her. That's what I wanted, you know, for my Priscilla. But the tragedy, of course, is when we discount, you know, someone's voice or you know, here's someone God sent. You know, Apollos could have easily brushed Priscilla aside, like, I'm not listening to a woman. And I kind of imagine what transformation had happened in Paul's life, right? Previously, we knew him as persecuting Christians and he had all the answers and he came from this very patriarchal background, you know, but here he is working with, as a co-laborer in the gospel, a woman, and listening to a woman, valuing her, you know, contribution. So in one way, I don't want to make this message all about women, you know.
Sure.
It's just about leadership, right? Yeah. It's about giftedness. It's about doing what God, I mean, it doesn't matter if Priscilla's a, you know, men, women, they all should live generously, dangerously, and go deep.
Yep.
But I do think there are times where women get overlooked, you know, and we make judgments.
So you mentioned those three things with Priscilla and Aquila, right? Living generously, living dangerously, and like living deep, like deep.
Deeply, yeah.
Yeah. So just practically speaking, of those three, which do you find the hardest?
I mean, they're all hard. So let me think about that. I think the deeply, in the sense that it's very easy to go on autopilot, right? I mean, I do struggle with it. So sometimes it's like I'm on a reading plan, you know, and it's just like, oh, I got my Bible reading done today. You know, I got, you know, checked my box, you know, or whatever, you know, and I'm keeping, but am I really, because there's still more to dig for down there. Am I going deep? I had mentioned Tim and Kathy Keller. There was one thing in Tim Keller's life. There's a few things that got me, and I'm trying to implement. One thing he did was, and I forget who encouraged him to do it, was memorize a title for every chapter of the Bible. Huh. There are I think it's 1,180 some chapters in the Bible. It's like, wow. But if I just knew, commit. That can be a way. You're just trying to master and understand the context, and like, no matter what book you're thinking of, you kind of know. Because me, it's just easy to be on autopilot. So going deep, but when you dig, there's gold.
Mm. Brett?
That's really good. For me, probably the second one, living dangerously. Mm. Not much of a risk taker. I like things orderly. Mm-hmm. I like to be in control. As soon as you release that control and enter into this world of trust, I think you can enter into that space of like courage and danger and risk. Mm. I have a hard time with that.
Mm. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I think I would I would enter in that deeply as well. Mm-hmm. I think what's hard about, you know, living in church world is like, sometimes I don't know where I am in the pool, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm in the shallow end or the deep end, because I'm so, I'm just so immersed with the Bible, and like it can become what you said, like just the, this is what I do. This is the check, the box I check all the time. And like, I read God's word all the time. And like, am I really growing, and am I really stretching myself? And so I think one thing that inspires me of Priscilla was just like her, that depth, right? That depth and how she lived, and how that depth really propelled her to live dangerously and generously, right? Can you do both of those without the other one? I don't know. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Cause that, I mean, Priscilla had been a hero, as I said, you know, my daughter's shy of 30. I mean, but a long time, you know, Priscilla's been a hero of mine. But really, in this study, it really jumped out to me just as Apollos was introduced, the fact that he knew Jesus, he knew the scriptures, he was a gifted teacher. This wasn't nursery, you know, this wasn't primary school, this wasn't kids' men. I mean, this was someone who, you know, they were a scholar themselves, and she was equal to the task, you know, and help. So
I think there's a side note to Priscilla that I want to kind of like emphasize, that I think we often miss in our culture today, because, you know, we gather a lot right at church buildings, right? But in the early church, and what was true about Priscilla and Aquila is they used their home as a church house, as a place of ministry. And I think one thing that I think Christians often miss out is the gift of their home and how much they can use that to leverage the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like Scott Bixby pops to mind for me as one, a hero in that area, because just last week, just every year, he knows his neighbors, you know. I mean, I know my neighbors. I try to connect with them, but he takes it to another level, and they just have, like, there's a Friendsgiving in the neighborhood, and there's people that, no matter what, you know, they're going to be there. But he's ministering to a lot of people. They might not come to 2052 St. Paul, you know, Brighton, Webster, you know, Rochester, but they but they will come to his home and they'll feel welcomed and loved there. So,
yeah, there's a certain, there's a next level of depth and connection, I feel like, that you can come to with people within a home setting, that it, you just, you can't always reach that amidst so many people. And especially, you know, sometimes I practically live at this church, but sometimes on Sundays I'm like just running around in a daze because there's just so many people and you get overwhelmed by just the sheer like an amount of people. And then especially too, like being in ministry, being on staff, you're like, how can I connect with all of these people? And you feel that pressure. I don't know. I feel that pressure sometimes on a Sunday morning of like trying to do my job, and also part of that job being connecting on a deep level with the people that we are like serving and ministering to. And so there's something about bringing people into your home where you can actually just like have that space where you can actually connect with people. And that, I think, is where, you know, not to say change can't happen at a church, but like it is the combo of both of those things where like change and like deep friendship and connection can happen that actually leads to like action.
I feel like for me, my home makes me a real person. You know, like people see, you know, you can hide behind a stage or a, post on Instagram or Facebook, like people make these, you know, these assumptions about you. But when you invite someone into your home, it's like, see me as I am, right? See me with all my kids' crap everywhere, right? See me with the dust or whatever it is. Like there's something, I think you said it really well. There's a depth of that, a level that you inviting someone into your home that breaks barriers, that lets people see you exactly for like this. You can't hide much when you're at home. And you know, even when you open up the fridge, like I think that's like a, is a huge no-no in my house growing up. Like you never go to somebody's house and open their fridge. It's like one of the greatest insults. But when you open someone's fridge, you're like, this is, your
family.
You know, you open our fridge, you're like, oh my word, this is them. Oh. But there's just like, Ashley and I have always like dreamed that our home would be a safe haven for people and for us. And I think what I love about Priscilla and Aquila is how much, like, you see that phrase twice. I think you read it twice on Sunday. They had people in their home, church in
it's
their
explicit,
home.
It's explicit in two of the cities, but clearly implied in the third city, Rome, Corinth, and Ephesus. They had house churches, always open up their homes. And you think, you say, it's the real you, like, in your house. I just think about, like, we're never going to communicate with people from the stage the same way we do in the living room or in a context, but just for people. I mean, I don't know. Do you get it? I mean, I feel like it's silly, but people will see me online as the online pastor, and then they're going to meet me, and it's just like they feel weird about it. I'm like, why do you feel weird about it? You should not feel weird about it. But I hope they see I'm a normal person when they get there, and I know they see you're a normal person, you know, when they get there too, but you need, I think that unhurried bandwidth, and I don't know, maybe we idealize other cultures. We just say, oh, we've got it terrible now. It's so busy and crazy. I mean, they were fighting for their lives. They had worries we didn't have, you know, but I do kind of sense that they were in their homes, you know, several times a week. You know, they did they shared life. Mm. And when you shared, man, I mean, they didn't have money sitting in 401k somewhere. I mean, they had what they had in the pantry at the time or whatever, and they shared it with each other.
I've thought of this recently, especially with, I have so many people in my life, you know, my age that are like wanting to buy homes. And right now the market is just awful and they just can't. And so I think to myself, like, what a blessing it is that I have a home and I feel like inviting people in is a way of stewarding that blessing well and utilizing it to actually move the kingdom forward versus like, you know, having this home and not inviting anyone in is like taking the coin and burying it and it doesn't grow or, you know, it doesn't flourish.
Yeah. And you know, you don't have to own a home. Like, it can be an apartment.
Could be
it can be the place that you live. Just allowing people to share that, I think, is such a your home where you live is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. Own it, rent it, whatever your circumstances are, that can be used for the glory of God, right? And I love that about Priscilla and Aquila. Mm-hmm. I guess what is the one thing that really stands out to you about Priscilla that you think is going to impact your life the most?
I just know that everything we're talking about and everything we're seeing, it was a result of Jesus. So that in this whole Roman world, things were getting, Jewish world, right? Things were getting turned upside down. And it was also interesting to see that Acts 2 connection between Rome. Rome is specifically called out at Pentecost, you know, these, you know, other places that people came from. And just to think, hey, that's where Priscilla and Aquila were. But, you know, Pentecost happens, the gospel's going out there, and people's lives, they're just upside down, you know, and these crazy things happen. So, again, what I wanted to do at the end of the sermon was, you know, we obviously celebrate Jesus is the hero of the story. And it's because he's a hero, and he equips and empowers us, you know, to be heroes. We're not trying to, you know, earn a place, you know, with him. It's we're just reacting to what he has done, you know, in our lives. And I just see Paul too, right? I mean, this is a life just poured out for others. Why? Because they met Jesus.
I really, really long to be the church as the people that we see in the early church were. And I know there's people today that are doing that well. I really want to be one of those people. I think it's just really, really impactful to see people like Priscilla and Aquila that they're just like giving everything they have. It is their one desire in life to see people look more like Jesus, mm-hmm. And then they're being obedient in that and taking action and building up knowledge through going deeper, but then also like applying that knowledge. Like mm-hmm. there's that, you know, as you guys were talking about like going deeper and I'm like, yeah, but knowledge isn't everything, but it's like that depth isn't actually just knowledge. It is taking what we read in scripture and applying it so that we actually end up looking more like Christ. And you can just see that in the way that they lived their life, that they really, truly loved Jesus and wanted everyone else to love him too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Can I just shout out one more thing? So I had a quote in there and then I cut it from Natalie Brand, and shout out to my friend Thomas Brown. He watches online and I always love visiting with Thomas. He's an avid reader. And long ago I said, oh, I'm going to be preaching this sermon on Priscilla. He goes, you know, there's a book about Priscilla. And Natalie Brand is just, she herself is a seminary professor, but she wrote this book. It's a short book. It's Priscilla, Where Are You? A Call to Joyful Theology. It's a good book to read. I'll put it in the references there. It's really intended for like women to read. It's like four chapters and then discussion questions. But I read it, you know, and you know, was blessed by it. But that was the connection that Natalie was making, was between this depth of theology and the joy, the life, the generous life that got produced as a result of it. So we think of sometimes like theology as a dry thing or whatever, but dig with confidence that there's gold and a change, and it's worth sharing with the world.
All right, so I'm going to shift gears. We're going to shift away from Priscilla and back a little bit to the whole series.
Yeah. Okay.
So you did a fantastic job kind of like summing up all the people in the series and really how they point to Jesus.
Yeah.
But this is a more practical question. You know, we walked through 6 weeks of, I think, 10?
I counted 10. We had all those couples in there, like Priscilla and Aquila, Deborah J.L.
So we had 10 unsung heroes. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, which one drew your attention the most? Which one inspired you the most? As we kind of bring an end to this series, what one was the one you held on to the most?
I mean, it's hard for me not to say Priscilla, because I mean, like before the series even started, I asked you.
You definitely
Drew.
Picked it.
I drew. I was like,
you're
Drew,
not allowed to pick
Drew.
The sermon you preach, though.
Right. Like, Drew.
We'll start with Priscilla. Brett. You can think Priscilla. About it.
So, but besides Priscilla. I mean, it's a nut. I mean, I could read over and over and over again the story of Mordecai and Esther. Mm. I mean, what they did and that whole story and how God was in control, and talk about risk takers. You know, they just put their lives right out there. But I love that story. I don't know. It always challenges me. Would I put it all on the line? Mm. You know, give it all up. Yep. You know, for the gospel.
Brett.
This is a tough one, but I'd probably go with Jonathan because friendship for me is just, it's it for me. Like relationships and friendship is something that I am really, really intentional in. And it also, I think about Britt McCracken, my friend. I told her I would try and give her a shout out on here because she gave me a shout out.
She did.
But I remember Jonathan and David, like the story of the two of them actually always does remind me of Britt and I, because when we first started becoming friends, there was Portraits of a King. We did Portraits of a King. That was a while ago, but there was one message also on David and Jonathan's friendship. And I remember her texting me, and she, you know, was in a period of life where she was just struggling. And she messaged me about that. Like, it was clear, like God brought us together. And I had like been a reminder to her of like friendship and that there's like hope in that. And so that like Jonathan and David will just always remind me now of like mine and Britt's friendship. And so I think Jonathan, like community and friendship, and we just never know what we can accomplish when we're being a good friend to somebody. You know, mm-hmm. like somebody can be having a really awful experience and come alongside a good friend and it can change your life. Mm-hmm. And I've had that experience as well. On the other hand, there was, you know, a couple years after Britt and I became friends, I went through the hardest experience I had ever been in. And who was right there but Britt alongside me. And so I just feel like friendship is so important in this like body of Christ, right? Like this community is so important. And so that was, I'd go with Jonathan.
I'm hands down Shipra and Pua just because of their names. I mean, like, but I just think they are the most unsung hero of the
Definitely.
Bible. You know, I think most people don't even know their story, let alone their names and just their example. I think you can never go wrong with fearing God. So they're on the top of my shelf. It was like one of those messages I was super excited to preach. But it's been a great series, Brad. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Great
hey, thanks for listening and going along the journey. Coming up, believe it or not, Christmas is right around the corner. Got a brand new series coming up, Christmas at the Movies. Mm-hmm. We're going to be using movies as illustrations to bring about God's truth. And so make note, we will not have a podcast next week due to schedule difficulties. So you will have to wait a week to experience
enjoy
this
your family. Enjoy the holidays.
Again, enjoy, have a happy
turkey.
Thanksgiving.
Graham crust
we
pie.
We love you guys. Eat some pie, some turkey, even the skin. We'll leave it at that.